Chapter 28. When the IOI corporate police came to arrest me, I was right in the middle of the movie Explorers, 1985, directed by Joe Dante. It's about three kids who build a spaceship in their backyard and then fly off to meet aliens. Easily one of the greatest kid flicks ever made. I'd gotten into the habit of watching it at least once a month. It kept me centered. I had a thumbnail of my apartment building's external security camera feed at the edge of my display, so I saw the IOI indentured servant retrieval transport pull up out front, siren wailing and lights flashing. Then, four jackbooted, riot-helmeted drop cops jumped out and ran into the building, followed by a guy in a suit. I continued to watch them on the lobby camera as they waved their IOI badges, blew past the security station, and filed onto the elevator. Now they were on their way up to my floor. "Max," I muttered, noting the fear in my own voice. "Execute security macro number one. Crom, strong in his mountain." This voice command instructed my computer to execute a long series of pre-programmed actions, both online and in the real world. "You got it, Chief," Max replied cheerfully. And a split second later, my apartment security system switched into lockdown mode. My reinforced plate titanium war door swung down from the ceiling, slamming and locking into place over my apartment's built-in security door. On the security camera mounted in the hallway outside my apartment, I watched the four drop cops get off the elevator and sprint down the hallway to my door. The two guys in front were carrying plasma welders. The other two held industrial-strength volt-jolt stun guns. The suit, who brought up the rear, was carrying a digital clipboard. I wasn't surprised to see them. I knew why they were here. They were here to cut open my apartment and pull me out of it, like a chunk of Spam being removed from a can. When they reached my door, my scanner gave them the once-over, and their ID data flashed on my display, informing me that all five of these men were IOI credit officers with a valid indenturement arrest warrant for one Bryce Lynch, the occupant of this apartment. So, in keeping with local, state, and federal law, my apartment building security system immediately opened both of my security doors to grant them entrance, but the war door that had just slammed into place kept them outside. Of course, the drop cops expected me to have redundant security, which is why they'd brought plasma welders. The IOI drone in the suit squeezed past the drop cops and gingerly pressed his thumb to my door intercom. His name and corporate title appeared on my display. Michael Wilson, IOI Credit and Collections Division, employee number IOI-481231. Wilson looked up into the lens of my hallway camera and smiled pleasantly. "Mr. Lynch," he said. "My name is Michael Wilson, and I'm with the Credit and Collections Division of Innovative Online Industries." He consulted his clipboard. "I'm here because you have failed to make the last three payments on your IOI Visa card, which has an outstanding balance in excess of $20,000. Our records also show that you are currently unemployed and have therefore been classified as impecunious. Under current federal law, you are now eligible for mandatory indenturement. You will remain indentured until you have paid your debt to our company in full, along with all applicable interest, processing, and late fees, and any other charges or penalties that you incur henceforth." Wilson motioned toward the drop cops. "These gentlemen are here to assist me in apprehending you and escorting you to your new place of employment. We request that you open your door and grant us access to your residence. Please be aware that we are authorized to seize any personal belongings you have inside. The sale value of these items will, of course, be deducted from your outstanding credit balance." As far as I could tell, Wilson recited all of this without taking a single breath, speaking in the flat monotone of someone who repeats the same sentences all day long. After a brief pause, I replied through the intercom, "Sure thing, guys. Just give me a minute to get my pants on, then I'll be right out." Wilson frowned. "Mr. Lynch, if you do not grant us access to your residence within 10 seconds, we are authorized to enter by force. The cost of any damage resulting from our forced entry, including all property damage and repair labor, will be added to your outstanding balance. Thank you. Wilson stepped away from the intercom and nodded to the others. One of the drop cops immediately powered up his welder, and when the tip began to glow molten orange, he began cutting through my war door's titanium plating. The other welder moved a few feet farther down and began to cut a hole right through the wall of my apartment. These guys had access to the building's security specs, so they knew the walls of each apartment were lined with steel plating and a layer of concrete, which they could cut through much more quickly than the titanium war door. Of course, I'd taken the precaution of reinforcing my apartment's walls, floor, and ceiling with a titanium alloy sage cage, which I'd assembled piece by piece. Once they cut through my wall, they would have to cut through the cage, too. But this would buy me only 5 or 6 extra minutes at the most, then they would be inside. I'd heard that drop cops had a nickname for this procedure, cutting an indent out of a fortified residence so they could arrest him. They called it doing a C-section. I dry swallowed 2 of the anti-anxiety pills I'd ordered in preparation for this day. I'd already taken 2 earlier that morning, but they didn't seem to be working. Inside the Oasis, I closed all the windows on my display and set my account security level to maximum. Then, I pulled up the scoreboard just to check it one last time and reassure myself that nothing had changed and that the Sixers still hadn't won. The top 10 rankings had been static for several days now.